성기면 나승하.
I promise you there will be more in the future. Today's message and title are very special. And so with a title like that, people start to think maybe negative thoughts sometimes. So let's start off with something positive. Now with the kids this morning in the English service, I started out with movies. And in particular, Spider-Man movies. How many of you have seen any of the Spider-Man movies? So a few people. All right. What's one of your favorite scenes? What do you remember about the Spider-Man movie? The jumps. Here we go. All right, yes. Spider-Man has this incredible supernatural ability to jump over buildings and things like that. And you know what one of my favorite scenes is? It has to do with his supernatural ability. His father sits down with him one day, and he doesn't know that his son, Peter Parker, is Spider-Man. And so he says to him, in a very fatherly way, you know, maybe your fathers did this with you sometime. Said, son, listen to me. It's something you have to know. One day you may have great power, but you need to know that with great power and authority comes greater responsibility. And that one line stuck with me a very long time. And it reminds me of the Christian life. It's the same way for us. Because although the title of the sermon today is The Kindness and Severity of God, maybe we can put the presentation up on the screen. There's one in there that says Kindness and Severity of God. It's a PowerPoint. What it says Chinese. Part of it's in Chinese anyway. But what this message is really about, it's about how we live the Christian life under God's grace as well as under His discipline. Because we're not only sons and daughters in Christ, but you know what we really are? We're subjects of a great King. Over the last few weeks, a lot of the preaching has come from the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, at the very beginning, what do you remember? Right? What happened in the very beginning? Holy Spirit came! They were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. But there was something else that happened. During that time, you know what that was? Jesus ascended into heaven. And Jesus sat down beside the Father, God the Father, and He was crowned with glory and honor. He was made king. There was a coronation ceremony. He was the emperor of the universe then, at that particular time. Okay? And His subjects now, His disciples and the apostles, were part of a very special kingdom. He gave them great power and authority. They were able to heal people, to do all kinds of things. But they also had great responsibility. And what I want you to do today is to learn from that text. Okay, we don't have the PowerPoint up there, I guess. Not today. There should be a PowerPoint on there that says severity and kindness of God on the desktop. Yeah, it's on the desktop there. One of them says Chinese. Yes, that's the one. That's the one. Here we go. And as I put this together, and there's a lion up there. And actually comes the lion and the little girl actually come from a story. I don't know how many people know the story that this comes from. Chronicles of Narnia. Yes, wow. You are. I'm glad you're the moderator this morning. It's from the Chronicles of Narnia. The book is called The Silver Chair. And we're going to talk about that because it's a perfect illustration of the kindness and the severity of God to those who fall in this story. But to us, it's an illustration of God's kindness. And what I want you to remember are these things. That God expects His subjects to live in harmony, His subjects to be people of character and not tolerate deceit, and His subjects to live in reverence and obedience. And why is this all important? Well, it's important because we all have expectations of what heaven is like. We have expectations of what heaven is like. And in this story today, the disciples and the community that they live in, they are a reflection of what is going on in heaven. And because they are a reflection of what's going on in heaven, that has implications for the way they're supposed to live right now. Now, of course, there's a lion up there and there's a kid, and of course, that's a children's story. But I remember another movie, and this one was a Chinese movie. And it had a title, the English title was something like Hero. And it was about the first emperor, Chinese emperor, I believe. Okay? Yes. There you, exactly what you said. And for that first emperor, this guy, the hero, Jet Li, portrayed him. He was granted an audience with the emperor. He was in the emperor's presence. How should you behave in the presence of an emperor? Very carefully. Very carefully. If you make a wrong move, if they think you're someone, exactly. Off with your head. That's it. Because the emperor is not safe. And although we have expectations of heaven, it has implications for the way we live now. And God, although He is a great God, He is a God also, you're going to find out, who is not safe. Let's pray and then we're going to begin. Father in heaven, we're grateful for the opportunity this morning to be able to study your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, you open our minds and hearts to what you're saying. So not only can we apply it to our own lives, but have something to share with others. Father, we pray you forgive the one who's preaching his sins. You will see Jesus home. Amen. All right. Why don't we open up our text? And if you have your Bibles, we're going to refer to your Bibles a lot. While you're looking for your Bible, if you don't have one, or trying to find out if your friend has a Bible you can share, let's go to the next slide. I'm going to give you a break. The first passage is in Chinese, okay? So, why don't you go ahead and read it in Chinese, and I'll read along in English. Manny Menenius, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lies of the Holy Spirit? And kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, was the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? Not lie to men, but to God. When I heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what happened. Okay. All right. Now, let's go to the next slide. All right. What was the first word? I know I've hidden it, but I know you all have your Bibles here. What was the first word there in verse 1 in chapter 5? Shinzai, right? Hopefully it's that. Was it that? Or maybe it was something else. It's now. Yes, thank you. Thank you for saving me there. It's now. And I've always told the kids and the English adults that when they see the word now or therefore in the Bible, what do you do with that? You find out what it's there for. You see, therefore, you find out what it's there for. And I know this is the English thing, okay? But more importantly, if you see the word now, then that means there's something that happened before then that you need to pay attention to. And what leads up to this very terrible situation, you know, two people have died. These are people who had good intentions, who were supposedly Christians. What happened? Before this, we find that they were trying to live like the other Christians in their community. The Christians were living in harmony. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Okay? Unfortunately, it's not up on the screen right now. All right. And it says here that Paul says to the disciples, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being one in spirit and purpose. And so he's letting them know. Paul's letting them know their responsibility is to live in community, in harmony, and in unity. And so it's a picture of what heaven may be like because God has given them the power to love each other. It's not natural, do you know that, to be self-sacrificial and love other people? it's very natural to love other people because of what you want out of it, right? Everybody knows that I'm going to love you because I know you're good for me, right? Or I'm going to love you because I know what will happen if I do it, if I become part of your lifestyle about who you are. You know, it's easy to do that. It's not very easy to love and not respect anything in return. But God's community had learned to do that. And in Acts we find, in chapter 2, that 5,000 people had been added to that community. 5,000. And so as they enter into chapter 4, we have the disciples, they're performing signs, healings, they're facing persecution, they're going to jail, they're coming out of jail, and they're speaking with boldness. But they're still acting as one community. And you say to yourself, what could be better? And so Ananias and Sapphira wanted to be part of this community. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, I'll ask somebody if they'll read it out in Chinese. Chapter 2, 47, right. They've got a big church, and they're enjoying the favor of all the people. And that's the right picture of Christian unity. But they were to discover that although they've got it pretty good, they have a big church, they're sharing everything in common. You know, they're bringing things to the apostles' feet, and they're sharing everything that they have. People actually took their houses, and if somebody had a need, they would sell their houses, and they would give them whatever they needed. And this is where the story of Ananias and Sapphira takes place. You see, Ananias and Sapphira don't realize that this Christian community was put together by God for a very special reason. And that reason was to allow the disciples to mature in Christ. This whole thing, the Christian community, was about God. It wasn't about them having a good time. It wasn't about them just being united in love. It was about them learning what it was going to be like to be subjects in God's kingdom. And that's what heaven is about. You are subjects, not just sons and daughters, but subjects of a great king in the kingdom of God. Okay, let's go on to our first point here. Next slide. God expects his subjects to live in harmony. So when you look at verse 1, it seems like maybe that's the intention of Ananias and Sapphira. In chapter 4, they were sharing everything in common. And if anybody had a need, they would sell their property, and then they would distribute it to the people who were poor. And so maybe Ananias and Sapphira are just like the people who are sitting beside you. Okay? They're nice people. And as a matter of fact, if you look at their names, they have wonderful names. Look at Ananias' name. What does it say up there on the screen in English? God is gracious. Isn't that a great name? God is great. Now, please don't give your children the name God is gracious, okay? They're going to have a tough time in school now. You might be able to give them Sapphira's name, right? What's Sapphira's name? Beauty. It's Beauty. That's a great name, all right? Beauty. And so you could actually take verse 1 where it says they sold a piece of property and you can substitute these names. And it could read, God is gracious and Beauty sold a piece of property as members of the Christian community had done before. That's what they're trying to get you to see here. Just before this, in chapter 4, Barnabas, a son of encouragement, he had sold his property and he laid it at the disciples' feet. Now today, you have great philanthropists, and if someone gives a large sum of money, what happens? They get some praise, compliments. You know how much money Bill Gates gives away every day of Microsoft? How much? Millions, exactly. Guy gives away millions of dollars a day. Now, before he was known just as the CEO and the head of Microsoft, but today he's known as a philanthropist who's trying to get rid of illiteracy in the world, trying to solve problems in terms of hunger and disease. That's what he's trying to do. And so you know what people do? Oh man, this Bill Gates, he's a great guy. And Ananias and Sapphira, after they had seen the example in chapter 4 of what happened to Barnabas, thought, wow, people are going to say this is great. Let's take a look at chapter 4 of Acts and verse 32. It's not up there on the screen, okay? But I'm going to go ahead and read to you. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. What does that sound like? Everybody has everything in common. Nobody is higher than anybody else. You know what the kids this morning said as soon as they heard me say that? We know communism, exactly what they said. That's communism, exactly. What's communism doing in the Bible? Well, let's read on a little bit further, okay? It says in verse 33, with great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, under communism, there is no resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Now, why would you not want to become a part of a community like that? So it's very easy to see why Ananias and Sapphira would sell their property, all right, and try to place it at the apostles' feet, but more importantly, want to be a part of this community. It was the place to be. It said they enjoyed the favor of all the people. Who knows, if you join this community, maybe your relatives who are sick might get healed. And maybe people will say good things about you too. This is where the action was, okay? And so it's very desirable. That was a very desirable thing. And they were having a good time together. However, you know what they were going to discover? Having a good time together was not the purpose of being the church. It had nothing to do with the purposes of God, except it being easy for them to learn from God what he wanted them to do and to learn about his purposes. Okay? God may have been their friend, and they may have related to him, you know, like, you know, Jesus is my friend. But God was also the king. He was also holy. And they were going to learn. They had to treat him with respect. And so in the slide I showed you at the very end, it's about a story of a little girl named Jill and a lion named Aslan. Can we go back to the very first slide for a second? Yeah. She's alone in the woods. And she comes across a lion. And look at the eyes on that lion. Okay? And so she decides, you know, this could be a bad situation. And so I better be charming. Okay? And do women know how to be charming when they want to be? You don't have the answer to that. Okay? She's charming. She's smiling. She's looking at him in the eyes and everything. And you know what she says to him? I'm thirsty. I would like a drink of water. And in the book, Aslan looks at her and he says, then drink. And then she says, she's still smiling. She's trying to charm him. He's a lion. She knows that she could die at any minute. She says, just one little thing here. And she says, if I get a drink of water, will you promise not to eat me? And so the lion looks at her, and the lion says, no. And so she says, well, I'm just going to go and get a drink of water from someplace else. So she changes from being charming to something else, right? And then he said, then go someplace else, but there's no other stream. So she says, then I just won't drink. And he says, then don't drink. Jill was to find out that Aslan, this great lion, the king of Narnia, who everybody said was so good, was not safe. And she didn't even know if she could get a drink of water. Because guess what? She really didn't know Aslan. And guess what? Ananias and Sapphira really don't know Christ. They really want to be a part of this community. But they don't know what they're getting themselves into. So this little girl is terrified, and she should be. And anyone who approaches
the community of believers and said, that's a good thing. Oh, they're having a wonderful time. You know what? I should be a part of that group because it's cool. You have to be very careful. Because God is not safe. He has expectations of His subjects, and that's what we are. We're not just sons and daughters of Christ. We are subjects of a great king. And just like in front of the emperor, the first emperor, the hero, he wasn't safe. He was not safe. You know why? The emperor saw right through him. He knew he was there to kill him. And he was not going to tolerate rebellion or disobedience. And it's the same thing with God. He does not tolerate rebellion and disobedience. And he knows a whole lot more than we think he does at times. Okay, so that brings us to point two. Let's go back to application two there. God expects His subjects to be people of character. Okay? The Bible says that God hates deceit and that it makes a person unclean. Unclean. God hates it. If you look at Psalm 5 and if you look at Mark chapter 7, Jesus talks about that. So you have to question why Ananias and Sapphira would want to join this community. Here it says, with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but bought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Bad move. You know, what in the world were they thinking? I don't know. Do Christians do this today? Do they smile sometimes, and yet they're thinking something else? And say, oh yeah, sure, we're going to do that, don't worry. And inside they know, nah, I don't have time for this. No, of course Christians don't do that today. Don't worry about it. You don't have to ask me that one either. Okay? But Ananias and Sapphira were about to discover, you know what? They weren't just dealing with the community, but they were dealing with God Himself. And God was not safe for them. So Peter questions Ananias. He questions him. What does he say? Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart, that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? You know what the surprising thing is there? He mentions Satan. He mentions Satan. All right? Peter is acting in the authority and power of God. He knows exactly what's going on. You know, there's only a few other places where it mentions Satan entering someone. In the Gospels, you remember where it mentions that Satan actually enters somebody? Judas. He enters Judas. It has to do with Christ. And Christ said to him, go and do what you have to do. Okay? Their hearts have become so seared, and their consciences are rebellious against God. And God is saying, if you join my community, you cannot behave any way you want to. And many people, you know what they would say? This is totally unfair. This is unfair. He says to them, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. Okay? Do you know Ananias does not even get a chance to explain? You know what happens? Struck down dead. No chance to say, I'm sorry. Look, I messed up. No chance for that at all. It's like Judas, right? Judas afterwards, after Satan entered him, he betrayed Christ. Christ was crucified, and what did Judas do? Hanged himself, went out and killed himself. No opportunity there for forgiveness. Okay, there's some things that we can do that really are an affront to God. And what it taught them, all of a sudden in the Christian community, the innocence was gone. They realized that it was their responsibility. They had all this power from God. They could love each other. They could live in unity. There were healings that were going on. But they were learning, uh-oh, God is different than we thought He was. He's not safe at times. And now they knew what it meant to be a part of the kingdom of God. You see, they found out they weren't just God's sons and daughters. They were God's servants. And a servant in the master's household is going to have a totally different perspective than a son or a daughter. And you know what? What God was really trying to teach them? Respect. Just like you try to teach your kids. You know, if your kids misbehave and they do something bad, what do? Yeah, well, you do, exactly. You say smack them. That's what the kids say this morning. My parents smack me. If I do something wrong, they smack me.
And you know, and the Bible even says, the sons and daughters of God, you. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, you exist for discipline. Okay? But now, what happens if you go to work, and the kids, you know, they decide, I can almost drive now. I almost have my driver's license. So, you know what? I'm going to take mom and dad's other car that they have left here, and I'm going to drive it out in the street. And they take the car, they drive it out in the street, they have an accident. Car is a total loss. And by the way, you know, before they left home, they left the stove on. And there was a piece of paper on the stove, house burned down. House caught fire and burned down. So you come back home, you know, and your other car is totally destroyed. Okay? And the house is burned down to the ground. Now, before you said if your kids messed up, you smack them. Now your kids have really messed up. And what's going to happen? You just have to kill them, right? No, you're not going to kid your kids. But they are really going to be in serious trouble. Well, what happened here is Ananias and Sapphira didn't know this God. And by doing what they did, they lied to the Holy Spirit and to God. And they were in serious trouble because guess what? Guess what? God had created this new community. And you know what he was looking for? He was looking for an example. He says, they have to learn respect. And Ananias and Sapphira, guess what? They were the example. God was going to use them to teach respect. Now, the Bible had warned the Jewish people about this. The Jews would not have looked at this the way we do today, okay, in terms of deceit and things like that. The Jews would have looked at what was going on with Ananias and Sapphira through the eyes of Joshua. And remember Joshua in the Old Testament? Said, we have the song, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Yes, Jericho, Jericho. What happened with Joshua? What did he do? Remember what Joshua did? Yeah, he did. He fit the battle of Jericho, right? He marched around the city. He blew trumpets, right? He blew the trumpets. And at the right time, he had to shout. Now, God gave him some very, very, very specific instructions. He didn't say, Joshua, you now have the power to go and overcome Jericho. He didn't do that. He said, this is what I want you to do, and you have to pay very close attention. You will march around the city, but you will not shout, and you will blow the trumpets, and you will not shout until I tell you to. And when I tell you to, then you shout, and then you overrun the entire city. And he said, by the way, there's something else I want you to do. Okay? Don't take anything with you. Don't take any of the devoted things. And in Joshua chapter 7, you know what they did? They went ahead, they defeated Jericho, and then after Jericho, they were encouraged. They were going to go into the promised land, and they were going to inherit all that God had promised them. And as they went into the promised land and tried to do that, they had a battle after Jericho. And the men, the scouts came back, and they said to them, you don't need very many men, because they had thousands of men, to defeat this city. There's only a few people in the city. And so they went to the city, and you know what happened? They were defeated. People got killed. Their own people got killed. And Joshua fell on his knees. He said, God, why have you done this to me? And you know what God said? He said, you didn't follow all of my instructions. Someone among you is deceitful. Someone took some of the devoted things. And you know what he said about the sin of deceit? He said, when you find the deceitful person, he has to be utterly destroyed. Okay? Deceit is something God does not tolerate. And people may think that they're fooling their friends or they're fooling other people, but there's one person you can't fool, right? Who's that? God. You can't fool God. You cannot fool God at all. And he will not tolerate deceit. And the other thing that he will not tolerate is disrespect. Disrespect. And you know what? God will discipline even his apostles. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Somebody read that for me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Just read it out loud in Chinese so everybody can hear it. I don't think I have it up there. I don't. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Yes, just read it out loud in Chinese, wherever you are. Now, what is happening there? What's happening? Paul is rebuking Peter. God is using Paul to rebuke an apostle. And guess what? God has ways of rebuking us. As I said before, God considers us to be his sons and daughters, and he won't let us get away with anything. God will find a way to make you into the kind of Christian that he wants you to be. And he will give us examples of what he's looking for. He gave the apostles, he gave the disciples examples leading up to chapter 5 of what he was looking for. You know why? He says, you know what? I'm trying to develop character. And so your first example of character before Ananias and Sapphira is going to be the apostles. And you know what he did? He threw them in jail. And when they got into jail, they were questioned. And then they were released because they were on God's business. And they came back to the community they were a part of. And everybody was happy. They rejoiced. They said, look what God has done. You guys had a chance to witness to the Jewish High Council. And then they prayed together. Because you know what? When you go through trials and suffering, what happens to you? It makes you stronger. It says they were able to speak with greater boldness than ever before. And that's why God disciplines us. Okay? Sometimes in our lives, things don't go the way we want them to. We suffer. Bad things happen to us. And we shouldn't say to ourselves, God doesn't like me anymore. I'm out of the grace of God. What we should say is that I am a servant and subject of the King. And whatever is going on in my life right now is necessary. And if it wasn't for this, then I could not grow up and be like Christ. Do you know how children know that their parents love them? They discipline them. Kids need discipline. They need boundaries. And that's the way they know that their parents love them. And it's a very important thing. And so let's go on to our last point here. Okay? God expects his children and subjects to not only live in reverence, he expects his subjects to really live in reverence and obedience. Not only live in harmony is what that should say, but to live in reverence and obedience. Okay? It's not enough just to get along with a person in your congregation. And it's not enough to just have a life of unity here together. And there may be some great things that go on in your small group. But if what does not come out of your small group, and if what does not come out of our church, is that the church not only has love for each other, and the church not only understands the purpose of God and the mission of God, but that we have reverence for God and that we are obedient, and people out there can see it, then it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, because it says that God has a lot more work to do. Now, here was a growing church. There were 5,000 members in that church. Is that a big church? Yeah, it's a very big church. Okay? And there were great things going on. They enjoyed the favor of the people. People were getting healed. And you know what happened? After they saw Ananias killed, it says great fear fell on everybody. After they saw Sapphira killed, it says great fear fell on everybody. And you know what happened? All those people out there who wanted to become Christians, you know what happened? Read Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Okay? I'm going to read it here in English. It says here, and it's an amazing verse. It really shows you what God is doing in his community, and these people were very special to him. It says here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, no one else dared join them. No one wanted to join the Christians. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord. And so what God was saying is, you know what? I'm not calling everybody to be a part of this community. The call, the invitation is out there for everybody, but I know everybody does not want this. Some people are interested in only what they can get out of this for themselves. But there are other people who want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and who want to be my subjects and serve me in my kingdom. And those are the people that I'm really calling. And those people
became Christians, even though most people didn't even want to join them anymore, because they realized that yes, they could have power, and yes, they could have authority, but there was responsibility. God expected them to behave a certain way. And there was this thing called the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was identifying who belonged to Christ. And for the others who belonged to Christ, the kingdom of God was irresistible. They joined the church. And so what happened here is that we're finding that God has disciplined his community. The community has a different perspective. And we find that God is saying, I love you. Isn't that funny? In the example where God kills two people, he's really saying to the Christian community, I love you. And he's doing that by protecting them. He's protecting them from bad people coming in. Okay? And it happens here. Sometimes it may happen in this church and we don't even know it. Okay? God has ways of protecting his community. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And so, in our case, God expects his community to live in reverence and obedience. If your children do something bad, you have to punish them. Okay? And you love them. You may not even punish them very hard. But if they do something really bad, like wreck your car and burn down a house, you can't tolerate that, right? That has to stop. You're not even sure you want to keep them after that, but you know something's gone wrong. Same thing. God would not tolerate anybody spitting in his face. And that's what they did. It was like spitting in his face when they said, you know, I'll just act like the rest of the apostles, and I'll take the money and we'll keep back some for ourselves. God doesn't like that at all. Anyway, I'm going to conclude. I'm going to wrap things up. Last PowerPoint. Up there I have, behold, the kindness and severity of God to those who fail severity, but to you, God's kindness. And what I really want to end on here is another example from the Chronicles of Narnia. If you haven't had a chance, someone once asked me, what should they get their sons and daughters in terms of their family? A good reading material? The Chronicles of Narnia are a good series to read. They really are. And here's one passage that I want to read to you from it. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And here is a situation where they're getting ready to encounter the lion, the god of Narnia, Aslan. And now there are four human children. And the four human children are listening to this beaver. And the beaver warns the children that the mere sight of the lion Aslan will cause their knees to knock so much they may be unable to stand. And so one of the children named Lucy, you know what she says to that? Oh my goodness, he's supposed to be so good. Is he safe? Safe, replies Mr. Beaver. Of course he's not safe. But he's good. And that's the point. We are subjects of God's kingdom. And he gives us great power. He gives us great power. He gives us authority. He gives you power you don't even know you have right now, in terms of faith and prayer and working together to get things accomplished. Okay? Incredible power. But with that great freedom and power he gives us comes greater responsibility. This is what I want to leave you today. God expects his subjects to live in harmony and contribute out of love to each other's needs. He expects his subjects to be people of character, and he will not tolerate deceit. And God expects his subjects to not only live in harmony, but also in reverence and obedience. And in Galatians chapter 6, I have Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 on the screen. Can someone read that in Chinese also, please, as we get ready to close? Chapter 6, verse 7. God's servants are there for one and one purpose only, to prepare themselves for heaven and learning to serve God here. Because guess what? When you get to heaven, that's your purpose. You're there to serve God. You will be working. It won't be just harmony and rest. You'll be working for a great king. And he expects you not only to use his power and authority, but to be extremely responsible. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful for your word today. May it have the desired effect in our lives. Father, perhaps there are things here that we didn't quite read or understand, but Lord, may you touch our hearts and minds so that not only do we learn from this, but we have something to share with others as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.